I'm going to print title, and then sort of, I always divide sermons up into chapters. It's my own way of referring to it. I'm actually going to put those up on screen as well when it comes to it. But today, the title of today's sermon is The Right to Freedom. I've got a feeling that if you've got the potential to be upset, you might be upset. It's not my fault, it's yours. I haven't tested this out on anybody before. It's the sort of thing that you could give political overtones to. I hope it has got political overtones, but God political ones, not party political ones. Hey, there we go. But I did see a video that impressed me from the Skit guys, and I thought it would just be good. It's just a fantastic privileged introduction, really. So I'd like you to see this first before we do the sermon. It's very simple, but it inspired me. Just good stuff, eh?
Yes.
Terrific. So, the right to freedom. So our open chapter says this. Why was God absent from the garden? That's a fairly significant question, is it not? He has done a masterpiece. He's created a universe. He has created this world. He has created Adam and Eve. But it poses some questions that when the devil turned up, why did God not turn up? Has anybody got the answer? There's not a definitive answer, but it is a good question. Was it neglect or was it a plan? I mean, here's another question. Why create Satan in the first place? Would we not all be better off now? And why make the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And an even bigger question, why didn't he have an angel guarding it? Because once they had sinned, he did have an angel guarding it. That's a big enough question, isn't it? We're asking questions about the very origin and meaning of life. And maybe the biggest question of all is why did God not just turn up at there and say, Adam and Eve, just listen to what I told you? Well, that question we'll probably not be able to answer this morning. But it's a good question, isn't it? And so it brings me to my second heading. Life is, at its best, a romance, not an epic battle. And that's worth thinking about, because love motivated the conquest, not the conquest motivated love. Let's get it quite clear. We cannot underestimate or overstate the central story of the Bible, the conquest over sin, sickness, death, and hell. Obviously, the central moment of history post that encounter in the garden is the moment that he surrendered his life for our sin, died on the cross, rose again. It's absolutely historically central to the universe in that moment. The conquest over death and sickness and hell, there is no question. But does the Bible not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son? It was love that motivated the conquest, not the other way round. I was impacted by the closing chapters of the book of Revelation. You listen to the read the last three or four chapters. Do you know what impacted me? When I was a youngster, which was not long ago, I read the book of Revelation, and I have to say that I was slightly disappointed with the finish of it. I mean, I know the author's really good. But I was slightly disappointed because there should have been an epic battle. Something on the level of the sort of the John Wayne stuff I'd grown up on. You know, a final battle of conquest where we have heroes. And we have a bride being made ready. That is because life is at best a romance, not an epic battle. And what amazed me was, is that finally when everything was done, just with the breath of his mouth, it says that he slayed the evil one, captivated him, and it was all over. And there was this beautiful bride descending. I've grown to realise it's a brilliant end. You see, at this point, Satan had fulfilled his purpose and he was ready to be disposed of. And when God wants to dispose of him, it is not a problem. But he has his purposes. And he's making a bride ready. So, our opening line, the right to freedom, we better do a bit of theology. Only God is totally free. According to all theological dictionaries that I've looked at, the only one that could be described as being totally free is God. It's summed up in Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. There's a good definition of freedom. He does whatever pleases him. The dictionary I use often says this: only God has absolute freedom. He is not controlled from the outside. Human beings, while not totally free, can experience a measure of freedom in different areas of life: social, economic, political, and spiritual. It's a stunning thought, is it not? That if we were somehow to gather all men and women that have ever lived on planet Earth to resist God's will, he would not even feel a thumbprint on himself. If we were to muster every demonic evil spirit that has ruled over our planet and ask them to join in with pushing against God, you will not move him, he will not feel it. Nobody resists his will. It is by definition why he is free. And here's the shocking thing, is that you and I have been made in his image. We carry the Father's image. We are made in his image. Do you know what? You are made to be like him in order to be like him. That's really profound, isn't it? Let me say it again. I can see. You were made to be like him in order to be like him. I believe God wants to bring you and me and the community that we live closer to the freedom that God enjoys. Amen. To be free from every external. It is my conviction, it's the right of every man and woman on this planet to be free. Amen. Free to believe what they want to believe, free to go where they want to go. The universe is a masterpiece. And he wanted not conquest. He wanted beings that carried his likeness so that we could create a community in which we would live with him forever. Amen. And he had to give those beings his own character, freedom, in order to be like him. The trouble is, give anybody freedom and you're taking a risk. Because if they choose to do the wrong thing, they are in trouble. But that is their right, to be free. Do you know, it is the most precious gift you've got. That gift is worth more than money and houses and career and everything else. The right to be free is yours, and it is the most precious thing that you own. And there isn't one of us that has not violated that privilege of freedom. Thank the Lord for the cross. But let us understand this, is God has given us freedom so we can make the right choices because that defines love. That is the great romance. You are free. I want to say, you are free to leave now. Actually, I want to say, if you don't want to be here, you're free to leave right now. God has given us that freedom. Isn't that refreshing? Isn't it lovely? So, next heading. Freedom, choice, in other words, will, and love are inseparable qualities. I suggest to you that being absent from the garden was not neglect. It was sheer brilliance. For it left Adam and Eve with the privilege and responsibility of freedom. They chose wrong. God will always defend our right to freedom. I believe that God will even defend your right of choice, even if you make the wrong choice. Does that mean he agrees with you? Yeah. No. Does that mean he will not oppose you? No. But he will fight to defend your right to freedom, for by it you are defined. You are what you are when you are free to choose. And you live with the responsibility of that. And we need to defend the rights of freedom for all mankind. I believe that we are growing up in a society where our freedom is ever more being curtailed. Not just for the individual, but for the society and the community. Thank the Lord we are free to meet here today. I have a feeling our days are numbered. We need to understand that right across this planet today, there are men, I read a remarkable testimony, I nearly brought it to read to you, of a Muslim family that became Christians. And they were hounded near to death, driven from their country, simply because they exercised their right to choose to worship their God the way that they chose. We have got to understand the bullet and the bomb will never achieve a thing. Our country has been guilty of that in the past. We didn't have the bullet and the bomb, but whoever thought by invading the Middle East through the Crusades that we could impose Christianity? Could you see Jesus doing that? I believe that in our society we are seeing greater bondages develop all the time. Bondages as a result of sin. The breakdown of following God's ways, and even modern slavery as it exists in our country today, which is greatly on the increase, is just a sign of the bondage and the captivity that lives are coming into. It's deeply disturbing. But I believe it is world over. I believe we have to understand that God wants every man free to choose. This is really provocative, but the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, it'll go out on the recording, one day this will not be acceptable, but there is no other way by which men may be saved, yes, other than by Jesus Christ. Now there is something we need to get really clear. You have no right to hit me or shoot me because I say that. I am free to choose because that's the way God chose us to be. Yes. And he chose you to be like that too. And I'm tired of a society in which if you say things like that, or even that Allah is God, I agree with that, not equally that I agree he's God, don't misunderstand, but the right to say so should be a free right for every human being. And I believe that we need to fight for that freedom. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. God, I believe, gives you the freedom to be a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, or a Christian. Any attempt to impose anything over someone's will is to not understand the purposes of God. Now, I need to put a couple of caveats in here. One, how many know that children can't handle freedom? They're just hopeless at it. What would you like to have for tea, please? Chocolate. What time would you like to go to bed? When I choose. Can I take my iPad with me? Would you like to go to school? How many of us know that that doesn't work? Are we opposing God there? No. But you cannot introduce a child to the privilege of freedom overnight. It takes about 18 years. But the project is this. You are designed to release them into freedom at the age of 18. So that they can make good choices for themselves. To eat the right food, to sleep at the right time, to behave in the right manner.
Amen.
So actually, no, they can't handle freedom right now. But any idea that somehow Mal and I can impose wishes on our children just to keep us looking Christian is actually not all right. And they've got to understand that they will live with the consequences of those choices too. You can't have God unconditionally. But all the churches up and down this land would be filled with people that wanted to be there. Secondly, we ought to just make the point, because it is worth making the point, it's theologically correct to make the point, is I am free by God to do as I please. That is, until it harms you. So, God forbid that we ever do this, but I am not free to preach naked. I expected amen, actually. I'm not free to drive home on the right-hand side of the road. I'm not free to do anything that impacts the purity and freedom of others' lives. Now, where that line is drawn is one of conflict that I won't have us discuss right now. But 1 Corinthians 8, 3, 8, I need my glasses. What does that say? 8. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. I think we all know that, don't we?
Yes.
But it's worth just to be do a complete work. That we do not have the right to do as we please all the time. We're part of a community. And actually, in our society today, those boundaries are being moved. I would much rather our children grow up in a world where there weren't certain shops, or where you could walk into parks and see people behaving inappropriately. Because I think we should protect the innocence of children. And so do you, I know that. True freedom is central for Jesus. You would obviously know the passages that I would choose. John 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone, except for the Babylonians, the Medes, the Greeks, the Romans. Isn't it strange that here we've got a group of people that claimed freedom, used God's word to build freedom, while bringing everybody else into bondage? Jesus described like putting such weights on people's shoulders that they cannot carry them. And be completely blind. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Galatians 5 verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. Now, the slavery there referred to is the slavery of the law, of having to go through certain rituals in order to be acceptable to God. Do you know what? Oh, there is so much stuff that can bring you into bondage. I really love the idea that I was created by God, totally unique to you, and you were created by God, totally unique to me. And that God has a plan for my life, and that he has every day set out according to Psalm 139 before one of them came to be. And I don't have to be like Graham to be free. And Graham doesn't have to be like me to be free. That's a relief, isn't it? For you. And how much freer would the body of Christ be if everybody could find out who we are in God and flow together? By the way, I love freedom and I worship here this morning. Just the freedom to express. It's good. 1 Peter chapter 2:16. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honour the King. I was fascinated. This scripture came up in Romans 8 in the video that we saw. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage of decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I'm kind of ashamed over history of how much Christianity has tried to impose itself. I'm fascinated with history. You have one king that was Catholic and they would kill the Protestants. Then one king that was Protestant, they'd kill the Catholics. What's wrong with them? They're all on the same team. Well, not on the same team, but you know what I'm trying to say. Oh, let's dig ourselves a hole. Isn't it incredible that the world that we live in at the moment is in bondage to decay? Waiting for the sons of God. That glorious liberty, that glorious freedom of the children of God. And it's waiting to be freed, liberated. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, reflecting the Lord's glory is becoming like him, made in his image. We're being transformed into his likeness, his image, with ever-increasing glory. It's what he intended. He modeled it in the transfiguration, that you and I should be like God, free. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm probably best to read this sentence that I've written. I promise you I didn't copy it from anywhere else, but I'm better to read it because I thought about it carefully rather than kind of be preachy over it. It is always an immense challenge to take responsibility to shape and challenge others without stepping over the line of imposing restraint, emotional control, engineering or manipulation, manipulating lives even with the finest of motives, but in reality taking away their own freedom to choose. We need to think long and hard about that, because I do want to be a good influence. So for example, it's not a good example. Let's just pretend that Michael is so bored with accountancy he decides to take up robbery to get his money. Can you see Michael as a jailbreaker? As a bank robber? If Michael does that, I would need to say to him, Michael, you are going to ruin your life, your marriage, your home, your family if you continue down that road. And I might even have to say to you, if you're going to keep robbing banks, then I'm really sorry, but you cannot be a member of this church. Which actually is true, Michael, I'm sorry, you can't. In other words, sometimes we have to do some straight talking to people and saying, if you do this, this will be the condition. However, you also have to say, but the choice is yours. You live with the consequences of your choices. I cannot impose that on you. We need to be clear. Really clear. So to finish my quote. The God gift to us, that of freedom, is that part of me that makes me responsible for my own actions. It defines my motives, and in the end will be that part of me that defines my eternal destiny. I am a Christian because I am free to choose, and I choose to be because I want to be. How easy it is to quote Bible verses about freedom while at the very same time imposing a form of control that is in essence the very opposite to which God wants. The Crusades are a good example of this. Did God want a Christian Middle East? Yes. Did he want it imposed by force? No. So when God left Adam and Eve by that tree and let Satan come, was it neglect or plan? Every one of us is truly exposed by the decisions that we make. And I believe today, love, your love for God, is exposed and declared by the decisions you make without restraint. I've had to be very firm with myself. There are times, normally I love Sundays. And if I'm responsible, I don't always love them. But there is something inside me, if I'm really honest with myself, that says, do I have to go to church? To which I feel the Lord does not say yes. He says, do you want to? Do you want to? And I realize that he sees me by the choices that I make. And we need to guard that freedom. There is stuff going through our government at the moment that we do not have time to discuss. That I believe will inhibit our freedom as Christians. Whether it's the national, the international, the church, or the family level. Remember, the right of every human being is to be free and to live in that freedom, for they are made in the image of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sermon done. Let's stand.